as federal agencies continue their push to improve online service. Cybersecurity and fraud prevention will stay in the mix of concerns. Several new technologies and strategies for better ID management have emerged. Joining me with more, Alan Weber, Research Director for National Security at IDC Government Insights. Alan, good to have you on.
Good morning. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Let's talk about what are the challenges that you see in large organizations as they confront this idea of identity management.
Well, it really comes down to how do you determine what an identity is and how do you verify that identity? And those are the challenges that, you know, so many organizations, not just government agencies, but so many organizations are really fighting with is how do you really identify somebody? And then how do you verify that against something it is you know? And for so long, it's been the username and password. And thankfully, as a lot of my colleagues will say in the security space, that's going away. We're moving on to things that are actually able to better attach to us and say, you know, this is my identity and this is what it is I have access to. Now, to be honest and to be straight about this, we're just at the very beginning of this shift that's going to happen, but it is a shift that we're starting down the road on what constitutes our identity and how we manage that in a digital world.
What are the technologies that your research shows that are emerging that might be first in line to replace the password and username?
Right now, the next generation is really focused around biometrics. And there's, you know, from fingerprints to iris scans to facial recognition to voice prints, there's so many different types of biometrics out there that make us uniquely us, who we are. And even in some cases, when you get into, say, the behavioral analysis and how it is we interact and engage on computers and with things online, that's another form of essentially biometric.
My question is, whatever happened to public key encryption and the exchange of these encrypted tokens and so forth, which seemed complicated, and maybe that's why it never took off, or has it taken off?
There are a number of people who still use PGP and, you know, other technologies similar to PGP that have gone beyond PGP. And that, in many cases, has worked. But when you look at where it is we're at now, that doesn't confirm an identity. That just simply says that the person on the other end has access to this information and can enter it into a computer. It's the same with a password. So, yeah, it is more than just a password, and it gives a little bit better idea around the identity, but it's, in many cases, it's not any different.
And what is happening in biometrics that makes it more compelling? Because there have been laptops and phones with thumbprint readers now for many, many years.
So what's happening there is it's the integration of the technologies, and it's that we're getting, for so many years, I remember, you know, 20, 30 years ago, you would put your hand into a hand reader, and it would basically, you know, based upon the geometry of your hand, not just your fingerprints, but the geometry of your hand, it would actually say whether or not you had access to that facility. And that was a really neat technology, but it was hard to learn. It was hard to actually get programmed. It was, you know, there were so many places that could actually have errors. And I think one of the biggest changes we're actually seeing right now with biometrics is the ability to reduce the number of errors, and it's getting so precise in what it is it's looking for and what it can actually use to identify you as the unique individual.
So it sounds as if the technologies have been there all along. They're just being refined enough and integrated enough to constitute a good new approach to identity management?
I think that's very true. I think it's very similar to the past you see on so many technologies, and I'll use a non-identity technology to give you an example, but it's being used in the identity space is RFID. RFID has actually been around since the 1940s. It was actually designed originally to identify planes coming back and forth across the English Channel during World War II, friend or foe, essentially. And so when you look at where RFID is, you know, we just had this explosion in the 90s and the 2000s around RFID applications and things. The technology had actually matured enough that it could be used in so many spaces, including, you know, identity and identity management. We're seeing the same thing on biometrics. A lot of these technologies, the concepts have been around for a while, but we were finally getting refined to the point where they're actually useful now.
We're speaking with Alan Weber. He is Research Director for National Security at IDC Government Insights. And you've also written that blockchain is figuring into ID management. Let's talk about that for a moment. And first, if you would, just explain precisely what blockchain is.
Well, okay, I don't know if there's an easy way to precisely define exactly what blockchain is. Basically, what blockchain is it's a ledger system that says that uses public ledgers to, you know, verify whether or not something is as it should be. And it's a whole algorithm and key code and things like that that go along. And the interesting thing around blockchain is that how it's going to actually play into identity management is when you look at the whole concept of DRM and digital rights management, we've had this for a long time around CDs, videotapes, things like that. We're actually starting to see the use of DRM within the context of information within computing systems, within IT systems. So we can sit there and say, okay, you have access to this document and you don't have access to this. All this is based upon identification. The interesting thing around blockchain is when you actually, if you follow out where this could potentially go, is that you can add blockchain to DRM within a document, for example, and say, based upon, you know, your ledger, your ID, and the blockchain in that document, you may get to see only a piece of that document. And the fabulous thing about blockchain is when we add where these technologies are going, it can go from a static identification and access to information to dynamic. What I mean by dynamic is that, so suppose you have, based upon your identification, your role, so many other different identifying properties, you have access to a certain piece of information. And blockchain says, okay, yes, you have access to this. And something happens. Somebody tries to hack your ID or something like that. And the computing system detects that. And so based upon that and based upon the dynamic aspect of this, it can shut down what it is you have access to within that document. All of a sudden it says, oh, you know what? Until we can verify you're really you and use some other additional technologies, we're not going to allow you to see everything that's within this document. So if we're using, say, a classification process where you normally would have a top secret because something's happened, it can dynamically reduce your access to information down to a secret or a confidential level until you can completely be verified, and then you can be brought back up. And that's where we're headed, is that dynamic aspect, and that's really what makes the blockchain interesting.
And so this technology then would replace or supersede the use of directories as the focal point for access management and ID management.
Yeah, because directories are static. I think that's the really fascinating part about where it is we're going with ID and access management, is that shift from static to dynamic.
And is this highly available commercially yet?
No. This is cutting bleeding edge stuff that they're working on out there. In fact, I'm looking forward. I'll be going to the RSA conference here in a few weeks, and I'll be talking to some of the brand new vendors out there who are rolling, you know, the beginning of this type of technology out there. It's probably another 5 to 7 years before we'll see the first implementations of technology similar to this. But it's definitely, you know, there are a few places where they're starting to play and work with it.
But it sounds like that might be eventually the answer to the insider threat that so many agencies and large organizations are fighting for.
It'll be one of the answers to the insider threat. I'm a pessimist by nature. I don't think we'll ever get rid of the total insider threat, but it's one of the answers, and that's actually one of the things this is really focused on, is how do we address that threat.
Alan Weber is Research Director for National Security at IDC Government Insights. Thanks so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you, and thanks for having me.
Find this interview and much more of our cybersecurity and ID management coverage at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.